Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Travis, we journeyed through Noah and the Ark, the Red Sea crossing, the Jordan River crossing, David
and Goliath.
You showed the cross in each of those events. And, you know, we're also going to see today, as we look in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament, how the cross is right there. We call this message "The Evil Winds of Satan." The evil winds of Satan blow, you wrote, blow us where we need to go if we will give up control of our ship. Giving up control of our ship.
Well, you know, the way of the cross leads home, brother. The Christian life is a journey from beginning to end. So many people look at it as a one-time event of salvation, accepting Christ as your Savior, but it's certainly that, but that's only the beginning of a journey. And Paul, in Acts 27, verse 10, said unto them, to the people on board this ship, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and ship, but also of our lives." That is the Christian journey right there. The warning that's put forth to these people in the ship is the same one that we must receive, that the journey is the way of the cross, Todd. That is the way of transformation. That is the way out of the old man into the new man, out of the old creation into the new creation, and out from under the law and into grace. All of that must happen through the cross. And so here in this chapter, we have a picture of the people on board the ship going through these various cross-like experiences where they suffer loss. And the cross message is a theology of subtraction, Todd. We must lose in order to gain. We must lose all the things we depend on for our well-being and our salvation and our identity. The things we built up first part of our life, really, at some point, we've got to throw those overboard into the sea. And the evil winds of Satan bring pressure, they bring calamity, they bring adversity into our lives, but it's only through that process of the experience of the cross, Todd, that we can lighten our ship of the things that we cling to for our own salvation, Todd, and finally depend only on Christ. It doesn't seem like we're willing to do that without a storm and a tempest-tossed situation.
Verse 10 is kind of a summation of the Christian life. It says, "And said unto them, Sirs," Paul says to the people of the ship, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." You know, Jesus told his 12 that you will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus never promised comfort in this life, comfort in our heart, yeah, but he never promised a journey that was not going to be filled with persecutions and afflictions for the gospel. And we must love not our lives unto the death, the scripture says in Revelation 12:11. And that's the accurate biblical picture. But today, Brother Travis, we have people painting this unrealistic picture for their own self-serving purposes as they usurp the authority of Christ, which is the Word of God, which clearly tells us there's going to be suffering in this life. And that daily cross is the key and the center of being in the middle of God's will and overcoming and relying on the Lord. The Apostle Paul here is saying, he's warning them, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and we should be warned when we enter into this faith and this journey. But some of the listeners may be thinking, well, you're just preaching such a morbid, gloomy message, this message of the cross that you're describing. But we always need to add, Todd, that the resurrection flows in behind the cross. The joy, peace, and rest of Christians Christianity can only Amen. Be found through the cross. So this is a glorious message of good news, that the gospel is that we will arrive at the shore and that we will be helped along the way and given periods of respite and rest and given our sustenance that we need spiritually to make it through this. And this is why, you know, Paul could rejoice in his infirmities. He wasn't just using hyperbole when he said those things. He is seeing the adverse things that happened to him, the oppositional people and circumstances in his life. He's seeing those as agents that take him deeper into Christ. So he is telling you the absolute truth when he said he's glad. He takes pleasure in his weaknesses and his infirmities and the bad things that happened to him. And this, of course, is one of them. You know, this shipwreck, he mentions that in, I believe, 2 Corinthians. In the deep, he says, he was shipwrecked. But he came through this, and everyone on the ship came through. An angel appeared to him and said, you know, you will appear before Caesar. So he was promised that this journey, he would make it, and we're promised that we'll make it. Todd, this is by God. All these things that happen to us, God has factored in, and the verse that captures that to me more than any is Romans 8:28, where all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That all things, primarily negative things, adversarial things, oppositional things, things Satan brings against us to actually elevate us. The evil winds of Satan or what take us where we need to go, Todd.
You know, verse 11 here, brother, the next verse, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So they did not believe the word of Paul. Now, here they have a prophet upon the ship with them. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. They took the advice of the shipmaster, I assume, who was secular instead of Paul. Also, I wanted to point out something that could possibly be caught here in when you were talking and how the story ends up where they were all saved. In other words, none of their lives were taken. It's key to cling to those who are fellowshipping with the Lord with the cross at the center of their lives. A crossless Christianity is not a Christianity at all. In fact, if there's no cross in our Christianity, then we're what Paul defined as enemies of the cross of Christ, Philippians 3, verse 18 and 19. So I believe the Holy Spirit would quicken the believer to cling to the message of the cross and to those who are communing in that message. Well, you know, there's something right here. You know, here, notice the people of the ship believed the shipmaster, which could represent the false teachers of today, instead of Paul.
Exactly.
Who was telling them, this is going to be a rough ride. I'm warning you. There's going to be, quote, whip hurt and much damage, and we're going to lose a lot as far as this earthly thing. That's not a message the flesh wants to hear.
Message does not tickle the ears. A preacher that preaches this message looks up and people are gone from the pew and money is gone from the coffers, and his job security is threatened when you preach the cross. And job security has killed the message of the cross, Todd. Absolutely. You can see in this chapter, Todd, how faith is the only thing that takes them through. And you know, you don't see any works here in this passage about that gets them to the shore. The only thing that gets them to the shore is faith. And that's the way it is in our Christian walk, that when this cross comes to you, Todd, faith in the resurrection, the operation of God, is the only thing that will take you through this tempestuous wind that Satan's going to throw against you, verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Well, that tempestuous wind it comes from the tempter, Satan himself. He is, of course, behind the evil winds that come into your life. But the great truth this chapter taught is those very evil winds that come against you, they are what sift and keep you humble and keep you pliable and allow God to fill you with his spirit and do away with the selfish center that you would throw that overboard into the sea, Todd. We we must be willing and we must have the faith to accept this death, God, and it will happen. The world, the evil winds of Satan will come to you. All you have to do is walk out your front door and Satan will furnish all the adversity and calamity you need. And that's when the cross experience begins. Todd, what I wanted to kind of shift the focus back to 27 of Acts, where it's interesting to me that all these things are lost here. And it's a picture of we must lose things in order to gain Christ. We must be emptied out. And this boat was virtually emptied out of all provisions, food, cargo, the ship's tackle. And I'll give you the verses. In verse 18, they jettisoned the cargo. In verse 19, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. All this caused by the storm. They're trying to lighten the ship. And then thirdly, in verse 32, they cut the lifeboat away and it falls into the sea. They give up. And that's a picture of us abandoning all backup plans that we have. You know, we depend on this, that, the other, life insurance, or we depend on our savings or our network of friends. You know, this is saying that even the lifeboat had to be cut away and let go. In 40, they cut the anchors, Todd. And my question is, what is your Christianity anchored in? Are you anchored in your denomination, or in your preacher, or in your position in the church and everybody looking up to you? We've got to cut the anchors and let them fall into the sea. That's verse 40, Todd. And then they loosened the rudder bands. This is giving up control. Now, this one is huge. They gave up control of the ship and just let these evil winds and waves drive the ship. And that is so foreign to the natural mind that adversity could take you where you need to go, Todd. But it is so true that when you present your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, that is when the real things of Christianity kick into being and you are transformed into the image of Christ and made new in your mind. But it's through the cross that all that happens. And then finally, Todd, I think the rudder bands is the last one, and they just hoisted the foresail, which is our spirit, then the winds drove them into this little barrier reef or a sandbar, and the front part of the ship stuck fast, it says, and the stern was broken up by the waves. That's a picture of our spirit man being fixed and lodged into Christ, but our flesh has to be broken up, our back part, our hinder part, our stern needs to be broken up by the violence of that Satan furnishes through the cross, and we take advantage of through faith, Todd. And then the ship was broken up. That's a picture of Christ being broken for us. And many of them floated ashore on portions of the ship. Todd, praise God that you and I both have a portion of the ship. Jesus Christ is going to take us where we need to go.
I love in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, no matter what we go through, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon it. In the cross, brother, there's deliverance in there.
There is, brother. And in Acts, I love your reference there to the Isaiah passage, the waters and the fire. That's alluding to the idea of baptism, that we're baptized into these storms, into these difficulties, into these losses. That is what we're put down into, Todd, that terminates this self within us, this sin nature that we have. We're put down into difficulties, things that remove our control, Todd. And I mean, the only way you can make it through that scenario with is that you trust it. See, and that's the only way that's why faith is such a big thing with Paul, is that that's the only way we're going to make it through these stormy seas that we're called out into, and Satan, all the things that he brings against us. And if you had not trusted, you would not have been willing to give up control. But we must give up control, but it seems like we won't do that until all other means of survival are taken away. But at that moment, the bottom of that trough is where the decision point is made. Am I going to cry out to God, or am I going to shake my fist at God and say, you're not who you say you are because you've let all this happen to me? And so when those baptisms into the deep waters of difficulty and the fire of adversity come, trusting him will bring the resurrection to us, Todd. He will get us through the storm, and we will arrive. He promises us that. We have to trust in God.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, Paul said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Wow, that's just so much in this verse, Acts 20:24. None of these things that he suffered moved him. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Man, that's really key right there, isn't it, Brother Travis?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, Paul told them on the ship, similar thing to what you were mentioning in Daniel, you know, where they came out unsinged and not even the smell of smoke on them. Paul mm-hmm. told them here in the ship that he had had this message from the angel, and not one hair on your head will you lose here. You're going to make it. And, of course, things were so hopeless, you know, for them, and things will get hopeless in your Christian life. Go through these things. 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. These are these hopeless moments where the things we depend on, Todd, to save us are all taken out of our hands, and we're left with nothing but Christ. Todd.
Amen. He's more than enough, isn't he, brother? Paul's saying here, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. God wants us to be able to finish the course he put us on with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and the ministry, he says, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's all rooted in not counting our lives dear unto ourselves. I'll quote Brother Travis. I love this. I've memorized it. I'll say it for the rest of my life, by the grace of God, that life can only spring out of death. Now, Brother Travis, I know I've heard you guys commune over the John 12 passage, which seems to go right here, verse 26 or 25. Jesus answered them, John 12:23, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn. Now, brother, does that mean grain of wheat?
Yes, it does.
Okay, that's what I thought. Fall into the ground and die, it abides or remains alone. But if it die, and that happens when it goes in the ground, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Travis, huh?
Absolutely. It goes into the ground, and the processes of nature deteriorate that outer husk, Todd, of the grain. And the moisture, the chemicals in the soil break apart. But only then can this internal life come forth, which reminds me of 2 Corinthians 4:16, where the outer man is perishing, but the inner man being renewed day by day. This is a picture of this seed in the ground. This outer man, this old nature person, is going to fall away and die. And through the cross, through the brokenness of life, the elements come against it, like the elements came against, you know, the ship. The elements come against the seed in the ground and break apart that outward shell so that the inner germ of life can come forth. But Todd, the first root goes downward. When that seed begins to grow and that inner life comes out, the first shoot goes down before the sprout can come up. So the Christian life is always a downward process first, Todd, in order for the upward to take place.
Amen. The only way up is down in the kingdom. Now, in John 12, we were reading here, and where Jesus is saying, this is the cross he's speaking of, except the corn or a grain, is that's the seed, right? The seed of wheat.
That is seed,
fall into the ground, okay, and die. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I love Isaiah 37:31. It says, God identifies his remnant as those who are taking, literally uses the word remnant. That means a small residue of those who truly know him among the many who claim to know him, which Jesus told us that many claim to know him, but on judgment day they will be vanquished and from him because they didn't really know him. So Isaiah 37:31 tells us, God says his remnant are those who are taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. Now, this is imperative. This is an imperative doctrine, folks. There are no shortcuts to serving God. Romans 6:3-4, Brother Travis, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, this is not water baptism. This is baptism into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life, and there's the resurrection. We have to own this, saints. This is not an option if we're going to be one with Christ and be with him eternally. We must be willing to take root downward, to humble ourselves and give ourselves over to the Lord in the daily cross. Verse 25, Brother Travis says, he that loveth, John 12, his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it. Sounds like a condition of walking with Christ and being with him eternally.
Yes, Todd, the mystery of which Paul speaks is this paradoxical gospel that we must lose in order to gain. We must be weakened in order to have God's power. We must decrease in order for him to increase. And we must fall into the ground and die. Let me pause over that word fall, Todd. That is a word that it means loss of control. It means loss of security. Uh-huh. It means falling out of your position in the world. I mean, it is a collapse. But just like that ship was lightened through this storm, we come into life circumstances, and it's through those adversities that we collapse into God. We fall into God. This requires no human effort. It only requires faith, because this fall is coming. It may be a bad word from your doctor. It could be a report on your child. It could be your marriage. It could be loss of financial security. I don't know how this devil is going to bring something against you. God's going to allow it so that you might fall, Todd, into Christ, that you would collapse out of the circumstance into the very thing that you're looking for but can't find any other way.
Serendipity, huh, brother? You find or are found in him in the very opposite way, the thing you were resisting and least wanted to allow in your life. God, you know, this is a romantic story of redemption, Brother Travis, isn't it? God, a bridegroom, is just bringing us to the place where we are put in the place to fall in love with him. I know it involves our will, but God is orchestrating these things because he's not willing that perish, and more importantly, that we would have that intimate, abiding relationship with him. Jesus says in verse 26 here of John 12, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, many people today, especially in the evangelical church world, divorce themselves from what the full counsel of what Christ said in his word. They believe and are taught, led to believe, not through scripture but through false teaching, that because Christ's work was perfect on the cross, any kind of participation of themselves, man, would be doubting Christ. But, you know, Jesus not only died on the cross for our sins, but he also said that in order to follow him, as he's saying right here, let him follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Jesus said in order to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It's an essential gospel. So we have to participate here. We've got to say, Lord, teach me this cross, right?
Absolutely. And the participation is found in the preposition all through the New Testament, Todd. With Christ, through Christ, in Christ. All those prepositions are key to showing you that you must die with Christ, but Christ is in it with you. We must be buried with Christ, but Christ is buried with us, and we must be raised up, but he's with us in that raising up and in that seating in the heavenly places with him. So this whole thing is a participation. When he says, follow me, he's not saying you're going to go it alone. He's saying, I'm going to walk with those in those steps with you. Follow me into this fall. Follow me into this ground of burial. Follow me into the germination and the life coming forth from you. Follow me into the resurrection. Follow me into the honor of seated next to my Father in heavenly places, Todd. Follow me. He says, follow me. Follow me to the cross, Todd.
Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:36, Paul goes so far as to basically call us a fool if we think that God is going to raise up something that's still alive under its own power and will. In other words, not dead. Thou fool,
exactly,
Paul says, that which thou sowest or plant is not quickened or made alive except it die. This is a truth seen throughout Scripture, isn't it, brother?
It is, and the deceptive part of it is not only the evil side of you has to die, but the good side too, Todd. All of our goodness, because good, as Jesus said, is not God. Goodness, the human good in you must die with Christ also. Now that, the religious side of you must yes. die. The side that wants to perform and claim glory yes. for that must die.
Yes, self-righteousness is what's fostered there. And pride, ego exactly. is at the heart of that. Brother Travis, you know, Jesus cried out to the Father, and nevertheless, in his trial in Gethsemane, before the cross, not my will, but thine be done. This cross is about handing our will, and God gave us free moral agency of free will over to the Lord, would you not say?
I would. And, you know, when these adversities come to us and these storms and these difficulties, Todd, it's okay to say, let this cup pass from me to mm-hmm. the Lord in our prayer. But we need to add the part behind the but. I call it the holy but. We need to add, not my will, but thine be done. See, there's the bottom line right there, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, leading up to, in the previous chapter, we see that apparently Paul was appealing to be released from jail. That's not mm-hmm. a sin. When Joseph was in jail in the book of Genesis, the beloved, precious Joseph, Genesis 37 through 50, he told him, he was a baker, put in a good word for me when you get out of here, so I can get
right.
out. He didn't get a lot of help from that guy, but nevertheless, it's not a sin to want to get out of, you know, nobody's going to like those
no.
type situations, but the Lord is going to comfort them, us, in those times, and bless us to experience things whereby we're going to be able to comfort others through what we've suffered, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Brother Travis, in our closing moment, we've got just a couple of minutes at the most. What is it that we have to look forward to next week concerning this fascinating study of the cross and the tapestry of the cross throughout history? I believe we were going to talk about the riddle of Samson and also maybe some of the other events with the swimming axe head and the dippings in
yeah.
Jordan and some other things. That's just going to be fabulous.
The dipping in Jordan is a great one, Todd. That is so good.
Looking forward to that one.
It's on every page, yeah. Todd, and really, it's hard to just gloss through these. I mean, you need to really examine them separately, and we could go yeah. on for years with each page of the Bible showing the listener the cross and the resurrection in these symbolisms in the Old Testament. Not in any way
yeah.
saying the stories are not literally true. They are. But underneath is this tapestry of the cross, as you call it.
Amen. And you know, I'm seeing that more than ever right there in Acts 27, ladies and gentlemen, saints of Christ. And this is exciting. I want to encourage you to take and read that passage today and get that in your spirit, with keeping in mind the things that have been shared today and how it goes far beyond just the physical things that we're reading about there. And Brother Travis, you mind if I close in a quick word of prayer for us?
Go right ahead, brother.
Amen. Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding and give us ears to hear, that we might hear what you're saying to your people, calling us to die at the cross, that you might raise us up now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, Todd.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting, and feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world, and may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.